Trust that even though the song you could have sung, we probably sang it without even looking in our books, you could grasp the words and let them sink into your heart, our hearts. For those of you who don't know this, only those that stand in this place, I feel quite inadequate. I don't know. Brother Andy prayed that the Spirit would work, and the Spirit needs to work, or it's going to be a little dead this morning. And since it's been a while since I was here, and since you're not regular to hearing me, these verses don't wore out with you like they are made with our people. Probably some of my favorite verses in the Word. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is 1 Peter. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And we can go on, but we're not going to keep going there. He has given us all things, and I'm so blessed when I think about and reflect on those things. I don't know what your diet has been across this pulpit over the last number of weeks, and so if I start talking about the same thing you've heard, well, maybe that's providential. Or maybe it's I didn't do due diligence and look on the website to see what you've been hearing. A number of months ago, let me back up. Kind of a popular thing in nominal Christianity today is going on missions trips. I hear it from the Baptist people in our town to going and serving on a Honduras work trip or whatever. It's a little missions trip. Well, I don't want to reflect too negatively on it because our family did that kind of thing this past summer, which is a bit of the inspiration of where we're going with the message this morning. We spent 2 weeks out of the country. I'm not going to go into detail on that, but we were in South Africa serving alongside a solo missionary family there. And we had the opportunity, we were there, to travel into Eswatini, and I didn't know what Eswatini was, but I have children that have had geography more recently than I have in school. Now, when we use the word Swaziland, I remember that. But Eswatini is another little country in southern part of Africa. Anyhow, we had the opportunity to travel. We were already in a poor country in South Africa, but the call came to travel a day's journey. Well, it took us a day to go there and back into Eswatini to minister to some needs, physical needs, in that country. So two of our children and I went along with a local pastor, a native pastor, and his wife, traveled into Swaziland to take aid, things that were donated into this country. Now we don't know much about, because we are separated and live in America and don't know anything different, many of us. Some of you know something different than America. Many of us don't know much different than America because that's normal to us. But Eswatini is a monarchy, and the king holds all the political power, and what he says goes. And it's a country where if you don't do or bow when you're told to bow, almost that bad, he can take your life. This country, they're under physical oppression, not spiritual oppression as much as physical oppression. The tax rate is like 35%, and if you're a business owner or try to operate your own business, 49% have skimmed right off the top and given to the king. So we went there to have a little time with these. A number of churches came together. It was mainly the leadership of these churches. Just a small group. I don't know if there's more than 35, 40 people there. We had a little service on a Saturday afternoon with them, and then we gave them our load of goods that we had brought along, a trailer that we had pulled into the country. Anyhow, I don't mean to derail, go off on the trail too far, but they do speak a bit of English in both countries we were. And they sang with energy, and this was a poor country, and this was not Africans beating a bunch of drums and strumming a bunch of instruments, but they were singing a cappella, and they kept singing the song, I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. Now, their accent was different, but I kept hearing that again and again. I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I was struck by that because it was costing them dearly physically, not spiritually, but it was costing them physically to live there. And yet they were zealous about it. You could travel to Bangladesh today, and it means something a little different to become a soldier in the army of the Lord. And by the way, we're going to talk about being a good soldier. In Bangladesh, if they leave the Muslim faith, they forsake. They take the words of Jesus that says, who wants to follow me needs to be willing to separate themselves, leave father and mother. And they forsake their own life also to follow the gospel. And we don't know anything about that, or I don't. I don't think Wellsboro Morris is any different than it is Tyrone. What is it costing you to be a soldier this morning? Is it costing you anything to be a soldier? I probably am going to repeat myself and ask that numerous times. I don't know. But I want that question to ring through your mind. What does it cost you to be a soldier? This past summer, one of our part-time employees decided after he graduated from high school he was going to go to join the military. And so he headed off to boot camp. And I don't know much about boot camp, but his aunt and his little sister work at our place of business as well. I'll get to that in a moment. Boot camp was 10 weeks of training. Even though he wasn't planning to join active combat, he had to go through the same training that anybody else has to, 10 weeks of training. And it's hard, rigorous training, and it's mentally and physically exhausting. And I think it's intended to be that way. And there's times when they try and break these recruits. They work them to the point, try and break them. What stuff are they made of? What's actually inside? How good, how valuable will this person be? You know, when he got to the gate, his personal belongings were left there, and he put on his fatigues or whatever they gave him to wear, and everything was left at the gate, including his phone. His personal belongings were left there. And he had contact with his family only when the sergeant allowed, and that was only after he was there for 6 weeks. And then the phone call was just limited to 30 seconds, is what his sister told me. All he could say was, "I'm okay," pretty much. He couldn't even say where he was. They knew where he was, in South Carolina or something, but 30 seconds contact and back to it. A prospective soldier is forced into submission. And I believe this is to condition them to focus on the task at hand and on the call of the country and get the focus off themselves in order to serve selflessly and also serve with zeal. And many times out of this type of training and work, and they're forced into this, but many times out of this will develop an unparalleled loyalty to their country and their fellows. And you can read stories, and many of you probably have read stories. There's also stories about men that will take, they're so focused on this, they'll take a bullet for a comrade because they're focused on this fight and a country first vision. Now, these are soldiers of an earthly kingdom, and they do it, the Bible tells us, to earn a corruptible crown and recognition. But we are called because the crown is incorruptible. Our crown doesn't spoil. Our crown doesn't fade or fall apart. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, I don't know for sure, but likely these are some of the last words of Apostle Paul. He was going to Rome to come before Nero for the second time. And we know already that he had this special relationship with Timothy. I think I'm sure he also knew that young Timothy was going to be endeavoring to take up where Paul was leaving off, or when he left off. We're going to just read verses 1 to 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And we'll stop there. So the question is, how can you be a good soldier? I'm going to assume, because he's called here to be a good soldier in verse 3, that apparently you can be a mediocre soldier. The verse about double-minded. That doesn't sound like a good soldier to me. A double-minded man is someone that thinks one way the one time and another way another time. Does that sound like dedicated? If there's a Russian soldier that thinks Russian some of the time and thinks Ukraine some of the time, I'm sure they're not a good soldier. They're a mediocre soldier. Actually, it's probably a poor soldier. I can be a poor soldier, and so can you if you allow yourself to be. At times, I have been a poor soldier. So how can I be a good soldier? We're going to look at, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 things. Nothing new. Number one, under the question, how can I be a good soldier? You need to know the captain or know the general. How can I know Jesus? He's our captain. He's our general. How do you know a friend? How well do you know a friend, and how have you become acquainted with them? How do you know the likes and dislikes of your friend? Your friendship develops over time, and we keep getting closer and closer, and you share more and more personal information, and before long, you know that friend, we say intimately, because in some cases, you know what a friend is thinking, even though they don't say it, because you know them that well. We all have friends like that, especially our spouses, and they know us that way. We don't even have to say it. Just the way you blink your eyes or the way you move your mouth, they know exactly what's going on because they know you. I know them. Not every friendship is like this, but our relationship with Jesus Christ needs to be like that. He already knows what you're thinking before you even think it. But we need to know his heart. We need to know the general. We get close to friends when we listen to them. A good friend is a listening friend, not one that's doing all the talking. And you soon learn to know what excites your friend, what makes them tick. Do you know the heartbeat of Jesus? Have you listened enough? Are you listening regularly enough that you know the heartbeat of Jesus? Are you listening closely to him? We can hear him through reading the word, through prayer, through meditating. He wants to hear from us, and we hear from us by our prayers. I think he also hears from us through the words that he hears us vocalize about him to others. Not only what's going on and what's going on in your private life and with your Bible, but also what are you telling others about him? What are you saying to others? Friends, co-workers, relatives. We have a war to wage against darkness, and the only way that I can be victorious is by knowing the captain and knowing the battle strategy. Another way to be a good soldier is to know the other soldiers. You know, in carnal warfare, even though we know little to nothing about it here in America, there's very few battles that are won strictly single-handedly. That one person went in, there's very few Jonathans that went in and took out a whole passel of Philistines with single-handedly. But it's rather the camaraderie and the loyalty of fellow soldiers that's a great strength and success in the battlefield. Knowing the other soldiers comes by working with them. We already talked about learning to know the general and learning to know our fellow soldiers is part of that. But it's also come from working together through easy times and also through the rough times, through the difficult times. So how is it with your relationship with your fellows, with your comrades, with your fellow soldiers? What's your relationship like? Do you know your fellow warrior? Do you know his strengths and weaknesses? Of course you do. Actually, we probably know the weaknesses better than we know the strengths because we're humans and we tend to see those things and highlight, look at those things and remember those things. Are you supporting your fellow? Or are you taking the opportunity to poke at his weakness or highlight his weakness, publicly or privately? Are you jealous of the strength of your fellow comrade, your fellow soldier? We need to be acquainted with our fellow soldiers. Number three, understand that all soldiers of Jesus have the same enemy. We all are focusing on the same enemy. We all have the same battle. No, we don't all have the same battle, but we all have the same enemy. We fight alone and we fight together. You fight at home. You fight on the job. You fight at times when you're all alone. We all fight temptation and the desire to take the lower road. I don't think I'm exposing myself as an extra, as a person that's not ordinary. I think it's natural for us to fight the temptation to take the lower road, especially when we're alone. When you're needing to fight that, wage that war, that temptation, when you're by yourself, it's greater. The desire or the being prone to take the lower road is even greater. But yet we have God's word and we have his spirit speaking into our hearts. If we'll just heed that. Verse 1 tells us here, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." It tells us that grace is poured into the Christian's life to make him strong. It's not saying just be strong because of your own strength. He's saying you can be strong because this grace that's poured into your heart, into your life, because of Christ Jesus. You cannot get that grace. You can't get that strength anywhere else. No good commentary, no good self-help book is going to give you the strength, the grace that you need. It comes through Jesus Christ. We need to talk about our personal battles at times with others. You have fellow soldiers for a reason. And one of those reasons is we need to open up about our personal battles. And that does give us the energy and the zeal to fight even harder. And if the battle to you is not difficult, maybe you better question whether or not you're in the front lines of the battle, whether or not you're in the fight, because it is a difficult battle. Verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness." Enduring hardness doesn't sound to me like an easy street where we get up in the morning and you read 10 verses and you're just blessed beyond measure and you just go throughout the day blithely unaware of what's going on because you're riding on some high spiritual cloud. No, it's a battle. If you come into my office in the morning, I'm reading the same 10 verses 3 or 4 times because they're not sinking in. Now, that's not the word's problem. It's not the spirit's problem. It's because I'm fighting a battle. And you are too. We need to ponder. We need to meditate. And we need to endure hardness. Enduring hardness to the men in the late 1800s in the Civil War and other times was slogging through swamps, spending nights freezing in the trenches or baking in those tents. Our spiritual life is the same way. We need to slog through those swamps because there's a battle that we're fighting. And we do this, why? Because we are committed to the cause and the captain. And if you're not committed to the captain and to his cause, you won't be fighting, and I won't be fighting. You won't be enduring hardness as a good soldier. You won't be a good soldier. Are you embracing the discomforts that being a faithful warrior brings? Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier. Number four, a soldier can only survive with comrades. I know we kind of already hinted at that. You know, in a physical battle, a wounded soldier, there's been many stories I'm sure you've read or heard that they wouldn't have survived except there was a comrade, someone to help them. It's no different for us. I wouldn't survive by myself. Very few people could ever survive fighting the battle against evil by themselves. There are tasks that are done as a team. There are battles that we do as a team. What are your comrades in life for, but they're to help? And are you taking the opportunity, seizing the opportunity to connect with your comrades, your fellow soldiers? Do you get too busy? I got to get up early. Day starts at 2:30 tomorrow morning. We're taking a load of cattle somewhere. I can't go to church tonight. Can't get to church Sunday evening. We need to get prepped for Monday. Or what about Wednesday evening? It's just been a rough day. Certainly, well, the church house is full. We got to sit on chairs anyhow. May as well just stay home, let someone else go. You're not going to survive. You're not connecting with comrades. You've got to be there. You've got to be here. Do you understand that your fellows need you as much as you need them? It's not about you coming here. It's not completely about you coming here with the assembly to get what you need, but it's also to give what your fellows need. We need comrades because there's people that have techniques that have worked for them to fight and to win whatever the struggle is. There's battle techniques that you can learn from somebody else. You know, just the other evening, in my old age, I was trying to play a little bit of hockey because there's actually ice this year. And there was a man from another church community there that spent a number of years playing hockey, and he was about my age, but he's giving techniques to the other young fellows. Now, here's what you do when this is happening when you're out there on the ice. And so he was offering techniques. I know that's playing hockey. May have its place a little bit. But the same techniques and sharing with others are important. If you see someone struggling, go to them. If you're struggling, go to somebody. That's what the comrades are for in this fight. What did we say a little bit ago? We're all fighting the same enemy. Reap techniques. Don't go to Google. Don't find another book off thrift books, whatever it is. You have a valuable resources right here in your team, in your group of comrades. Number five, how to be a good soldier? Carry the banner. Historically, the flag of each nation or military power was carried into combat. Are you carrying the banner? Or what is the banner? What does it mean to carry the banner? There's a song called The Royal Banner, written by Major D.W. Whittle. And he was named after an American politician named Daniel Webster, which I don't know anything about. But he reached the rank of major in the Civil War, Mr. Whittle did. And for the rest of his life was known as Major Whittle. During the war, Whittle lost his right arm and ended up in a prisoner of war hospital. Camp. I guess a hospital of sorts, but he was in the camp. He was recovering from his wounds in this hospital, and he was getting bored, and he was looking for something to read. And he found a New Testament. And though its words resonated with him, he was not ready to accept Christ. Shortly after that time, one night, a hospital orderly woke him up and said to him that there's a dying prisoner a number of beds down that wants to pray with somebody. And Whittle protested, but the orderly said, "But I thought you were a Christian. I've seen you reading the Bible." So Whittle agreed to go. And he recorded what took place at the dying youth's bedside. This was in a book I read. And he writes, "I dropped on my knees and held the boy's hand in mine. In a few broken words, I confessed my sin and asked Christ to forgive me. I believed right there that he did forgive me. I then prayed earnestly for the boy, and he became quiet and pressed my hand as I prayed and pleaded God's promises on his behalf. When I rose from my knees, he was dead. A look of peace had come over his troubled face, and I cannot believe that God had used him to bring me to the Savior, used me to lead him to trust Christ's precious blood and find pardon, and I hope to meet him in heaven." After the war, Will became treasurer of the Elgin Watch Company in Chicago, Illinois, and less than 10 years later, he entered the evangelism field and served the Lord through evangelism. And I hope you don't mind, I'd like to sing a verse of that song. One man I learned from years ago, I think it's Lindsay is here this morning, if I'm saying it right, her grandfather often would lead songs during preaching, and so I'm going to do the same. Let's just sing one verse of the Royal Banner. I'm sorry, you didn't grow up in Shirksville, so maybe that wasn't a familiar song to you. What is carrying that banner? Isaiah 11 verse 10 says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." That's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the banner. How are you carrying the banner of Jesus Christ into the battlefield? Is it written all over you? Is your being displaying the light of Jesus Christ? That should be, it must be within your heart as a warrior for him. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 10 says, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." How are you carrying about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus? I know we could spend the rest of the morning on that, and I'm not prepared to, so I guess we won't. But that's carrying the banner. The sacrificial love, the love of Jesus that took him to the cross, you and I are called to carry that to the world around us. But that's also what empowers us to win. We are part of the winning team. This side will win. It's just a matter of, will you be a faithful soldier and win along with the rest of your comrades? Number 6, how do I be a good soldier? Do not get distracted. Verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." The man that wars doesn't entangle himself with what's going on around him. I do a pitiful job at staying away from being entangled by what's around me. We have been selected by Jesus for this battle. John 15, verse 16, in that vine chapter, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth and bring, you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Jesus hand selected you because he called you to be one of his warriors. Let's not get distracted. Success in this war lies in realizing that the battle is actually Jesus' fight against the devil. And we will be victorious only if we fight for him, fight for the Lord Jesus, rather than with ourselves in focus. No man that warreth entangleth himself. How many men snuck away from the front lines during the Civil War and went fishing? I don't know. I'm sure there was one here or there that they called them deserters. He wasn't a focused soldier if he snuck away to go fishing. Or how successful was the contingent that lost men that decided to leave at night and go home? They wanted to run away and go home rather than fight. How successful are you when others desert and walk away? It's painful. It's demoralizing when somebody gives up and leaves the faith and takes the steps away from the battle. It affects us. It affects each one. Don't get distracted. We cannot get distracted. What do you do about distractions? What am I doing about distractions? I think one of the things we must reckon with, whether or not you have, I'm trying to continue to work on it in my life, but all Christians have ADD. You know, 30, 40 years ago, as a young child, I didn't hear of ADD. Maybe we don't hear about it anymore, but I think we do. Attention deficit disorder, for those of you who might not know. We all have it to some extent. Our minds trail off. Our focus, our attention trails off when it's not supposed to. Are you okay? Am I okay with these distractions in my life? Are you okay with those distractions in your fellow soldier's life? Do you see a fellow soldier getting distracted? Ever? Of course, you can see it way easier when they're distracted than when you're distracted. It's far easier for us to pull it out in somebody else. Listen, we all get distracted. And we get distracted. We begin to get distracted the minute we take our focus off of pleasing our captain. When Jesus Christ remains number one in your life, the focal point, we don't get distracted near as easily. So what distractions are we talking about? Well, the one we pick on most today probably is our electronic technology. So we may as well pick on that one because many times it does more hindering in our ability to win the fight than it does in helping. Is there valuable active duty time that's being wasted in your life because of that? And additionally, what content distracts you? You know, for the wives and mothers, it used to be the men that went off to work and had to face the world and the distractions, but the world has come into our homes, into our pockets, into our purses, whatever you want to call it, because of electronic technology. It has come into all our homes. What about your social media and personal interests? In addition to being a faithful soldier, sisters, God has called you, many of you, to keep the house and raise a family, raise children. And all those important things, in addition to your personal fight and walk with the Lord, your personal fight against the devil, all those have eternal rewards and consequences. Actually, the amount of time we spend on our devices has rewards or consequences. Men, dads, are you trusting in your ability to operate a business or build some type of empire to the point of distraction? What does your feed show on an average day? How battle or kingdom focused is your day? I'm asking these questions because whether or not you're comprehending, you're getting a window, these are the things that are threatening me. This life is a test prep for eternity. Are you going to make it? Am I going to make it? Am I going to pass the grade? Where is our focus? Again, we could spend a lot more time. Moving on, number 7. A good soldier wants to please his captain. How does your captain see that you desire to please him? How does he know it? Are you prioritizing your life to the point of making room of special times to connect with him? Do you have meaningful personal devotions? We can please the captain when we have the devotion to and the desire to serve him without hesitation. Does the Lord have to knock on your door more than once, more than twice, more than three times when he needs you for something to serve him somewhere? Let us please the captain. Number 8, a good soldier is constantly fighting opposition with an intense desire to win. Be vigilant. Keep your eyes open. Get your head out of the proverbial sand and look around you. See what's going on. Don't let your guard down. Never give up. Keep the fight in you. You know, we talk about people sometimes, they got a lot of fight left in them, or an animal maybe that has a lot of fight. We need that kind of fight if we're going to win the battle. It is a difficult battle. It is at times very trying and tiring. But if you let the fight go out of you, we will not be successful. Back to our text. In verse 1, Paul was inviting Timothy to be strong in the grace as in Christ Jesus. And the only way that Timothy could be successful was because God's grace and favor was towards him. And God's grace and favor is towards us today. He gives us what we need when we need it. He doesn't give you a whole extra pallet of grace that you can just pull a bag or two off when you need it, but he gives it as we need it. We've got to keep pouring our lives and our hearts out to him and connecting. And what are you doing with that grace? What are you using God's grace for? There's a warning that Paul gave in talking about faith, works, and the law in Galatians 22, verse 20. Says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, because we all have to live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we live it for him. Then verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So what does it mean to frustrate the grace of God? Frustrate means to reject it or cast it off. God gives us many things. God's grace gives us opportunities to be successful in so many areas. Are you using the favor and blessing of God on your life for personal gain? Are you getting self-focused because you're not being tested? Remember, if we start out asking the question, what is it costing you to be a Christian? What is it costing me to be a soldier? Are we in America closer or more prone to frustrate or cast away the grace of God because we're not being tested? I'm sorry, I'm asking questions that I'm not answering, but maybe you can answer them. Are you using that grace to go and seek out new soldiers? Because we are in such an easy battlefield in many ways here in America. Are you taking advantage of that grace and going out and using it for his kingdom's honor and glory? Are you wasting God's favor selfishly, or are you investing his grace, this grace, in his kingdom? At the end of a successful career, you won't be awarded a Purple Heart, a Silver Star, a Distinguished Cross, or a Medal of Honor. And those are all things that I had to go to Google to see what those are, but those are actually the medals that you would win if you're part of different levels of military. We won't be awarded a Purple Heart, a Silver Star, a Distinguished Cross, or a Medal of Honor. Guess what? We'll get something way more, way better. Jesus will give unto us everlasting life in the bliss and perfection of heaven if you are successful, if I'm successful. And just like David, when he went up against Goliath, he said, this battle is the Lord's, and he's going to deliver you into our hands. And that was the battle of righteousness against unrighteousness. And it's the same battle we are in today. Will you be on the winning side? Let's kneel for prayer.
Thank you.